The following program has been brought to you by Rolling Press, a family-run, eco-friendly printing company. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
I can eat 50 eggs.
Nobody can eat 50 eggs.
You just said he could eat anything.
You ever eat 50 eggs?
Nobody ever eat 50 eggs.
Hey, Babalugat, we got a bet here.
My boy says he can eat 50 eggs, he can eat 50 eggs.
Yeah, man. perfect way to start. Hey, everybody, welcome to Eating Disorder.
Woo!
Yeah.
I'm Paul Gerard. Please welcome Adam Velez and the Reverend Spiro.
What's up?
So we are going to be discussing competitive eating today, competitive and speed eating.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting topic. The one of the things, I know that they're saying it's a sport,
mm-hmm.
you know, and so I wanted to look up sport. So sport is defined as an activity involving physical exertion and skill, which an individual or team competes against another or others for entertainment. So I think these guys got it.
Well,
this definitely requires physical exertion.
One of my problems is this. You got. I actually got into an argument with somebody about this. He's a football fan and a boxing fan. And I'm like, and they're like, oh, it's not a fucking sport and people are fat and blah, blah. And they're setting a bad example. I'm like, you go and watch people get killed. You know, you watch people beat the shit out of each other every day, and you're worried about the hot dog eating guy
that's
setting
a bad
example. That's
some culture right there.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, but violence, that's fine. You know?
You see some of these pictures of what's his name? Kobayashi. He's pretty buff, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was like a buck 25 when he first started, and he was just like this little guy that pretty much amazed everybody. But then later on, he got pretty buff.
It's like Michael Phelps. Like, his anatomy is pre, you know, measured to eat a shitload of food or hot dogs.
A ridiculous amount of food. Yeah, but swimmers.
Science.
I mean, swimmers are a little different.
Well, it's science is what we're talking about here.
Science. You know, it is definitely entertaining. I thought it was funny. You know, it basically started with pies in like county fairs and stuff.
Yeah,
it was
Stand By Me.
Stand by me.
Yeah, it definitely.
Lard ass.
Yeah.
Lard
oh,
ass,
River.
Lard ass.
But even with those things, it wasn't like they were, you know, eating 25 pies. It was like, let's see who can finish the pie first, and everybody jams their face into a blueberry pie, and that's about it. You know, and then Nathan's kind of kicked off the whole craze. You know, they say that Nathan's is the World Series of Eating Contest, and controlled by Takeru Kobayashi, who I was talking about before. He was 30-something when he first entered in 2001. He ate 50 hot dogs in 12 minutes, doubling
oh
the
Lord.
Previous record of 25 hot dogs.
Yipes.
He would then go on to break his own record three times and winning the contest six consecutive times from 2001 to 2006 until Joey Chestnut took him down.
Joey Chestnut.
Hey, fucking Joey Chestnut.
Joey Chestnut.
I thought this guy was from Brooklyn. He's from California.
Oh, no.
But that's 5.5 hot dogs in a minute.
Wow. Nice.
I knew some girls from Brooklyn who couldn't take it.
Sideways. Horizontal.
Metal days, you know. So today we're joined by a few competitive eaters. We have Crazy Legs Conti.
I am very glad to be here. I'm hungry and focused.
Hungry and focused. That's very good. See, Crazy Legs got a few big wins under your belt. The 2002 Big Easy Eat Off.
You down yep. Acme Oysters.
Acme Oysters. 168 fucking oysters.
Bam. Yes, I've improved to 32 dozen in 8 minutes,
wow.
Which is impressive. But, you know, you opened the show with Cool Hand Luke. No man can eat 50 eggs. A woman, however, can and has. Sonia the Black Widow Thomas, 101 pounds, Korean-American, ate 65 hard-boiled eggs in 6 minutes and 40 seconds. So
that's
and
amazing.
And she holds the Nathan's female record at 45 in 10 minutes.
I see you have Juliet Lee and Sonia Thomas are in the top 10 eaters.
This year, there are two female eaters, Mickey Sudo out of Vegas and Michelle Lesko, who are they are incredible. They swept, three women, including Sonia, swept the Buffalo Wing Festival in Buffalo. They beat all the men in
Whoa.
Chicken wings,
really?
Like a bar food. Women finished 1, 2, 3. So it is like What is that, Helen? Is it Helen Reddy?
Helen, what's
song?
Helen Reddy.
Hear My Stomach Roar, yeah, basically. Yeah, yeah. I'm Woman. Hear My Stomach Roar. This year in competitive eating, there should be a documentary about the women. And these women are beautiful and petite.
They are. They really and, they kicked up my food fetishes.
Yeah, Mickey Sudha. I mean, she's awesome. Like, oh, I have to change into my spandex before the contest. I mean, and I'm like, that's the only time I've ever heard anyone say they're changing into spandex before
a
competitive eating
I want to have
an
Eat a 50 hot dog contest and put 49 hot dogs in a bathtub with me. That 50.
Yeah, the one who finds the last one exactly. has to do the dishes. Right?
Mickey would be like, "What? I don't eat cocktail weenies. What's going on here? She's pretty rough. She's pretty rough. I got to be honest."
I like the way they're shattering that whole stereotype of "I'll just have a salad."
Yeah, exactly.
Though I want to know what happens in the aftermath of that, though. I mean, because that's my job on the show is talking about poop.
Oh yeah, all right. So,
he's our designated poop right talker.
Well, in terms of, I am sponsored by Worldwide Bidet. In terms of the aftermath, you would have been excited about this previous weekend, which is the only vegetable weekend in Major League Eating. Oh. On the West Coast, we do at Stockton, California, we do the Deep Fried Asparagus Festival.
Wow.
Joey Chestnut.
You fuck it up in some way.
And Matt Stoney. You know? They did over 12 pounds. And then Sunday in West Palm Beach at the Sweet Corn Fiesta, we do the Corn on the Cob Eating Contest. So I did the double a few years ago, and I figured out exactly how long the human body eating about 4 pounds of deep-fried asparagus, your urine will smell for about 3.5 hours immediately. And then after Sunday, eating – that year I ate 37 ears of corn, and 5.5 hours later, your defecation is solely corn. It looks like it is a mountain of kernels above the waterline, and that will last for 12 to 14 hours. I tried to get – like. An American Scientific Journal on the line. I'm like, listen, I figured it out. This is what you need to know about the lower intestine. And they were like, we don't hear it.
I can hear Captain Kirk now, like, yeah. Captain's log, warm exactly. with nuts and corn.
Yeah. It's like a Guy Ritchie film.
My ship aimlessly in space.
Right.
So it's Spiro's job to bring poop into the mix, and it's mine to bring sex into the
all right,
mix.
Absolutely.
You know, like, people always ask porn stars what their personal sex lives are like, so it makes me think, what's it like for you at home? Like, can you actually have sex after? No, well, I'm just kidding.
It's,
what, are you normally a big eater?
Well, I do – there's a few different things. I do the Acme Oyster Eating Contest, which is considered nature's Viagra. But the truth is
– it is.
Anything over about 3 dozen, your stomach sticks out further than certain other body
so
parts.
They don't have a guy in the beginning saying, listen, if you experience
it – I know. Right. It's like Popeye comes out of the can. If you experience a boner lasting 1 or 2 hours.
But there are groupies on the competitive eating circuit, mostly states where like women eat a lot of – bratwurst and drink beer.
Right, the double wides on the Walmart
St. Louis, anywhere in Milwaukee, Sheboygan.
Burps.
Anywhere that it's helpful because you're traveling, you're on TV, in the bar you're in, and the girls seem to like it. And also being an oyster eater or being a, you know, they like the oral dexterity, let's
absolutely.
Say. I had a documentary that played in England, and I got all these emails about like – sort of their predilection for the oral skills of in the yonic field of food. So.
Ah, very nice.
I think actually do we have our other guest on the line right now. We have Yasir Salem, who is one of your colleagues and contemporaries.
He is a wingman when it comes to groupies. He's getting married this summer, and he was very concerned. You know, there's a lot of like you're a groom pre. Wedding jitters.
Yeah.
His were like, when is the hot dog qualifying schedule come out? My wedding is in June. I have this in,
fuck the
you know, I have
party.
My honeymoon.
Yasir.
Don't tell my wife, whatever
Yasir,
you do.
Did he just out you, man?
Yasir, how you doing? You out there?
How you doing?
Welcome. Welcome.
Thanks for joining us.
So you won the cannoli eating contest at the San Gennaro Festival.
Yes.
Cannoli.
Hey, forget about it.
That was great. I mean, I had been entering that contest for about 3 years. My first year I did decent, you know, somewhere in the middle of the pack. And then in 2012, Badlands Booker, another great eater, beat me in an eat-off. But then finally last year I bested him, and so it was great. It was a great moment.
Epic. Let me ask you, what's your favorite cannoli in New York?
Oh, that's tough, and I wouldn't want to pick favorites. You know, I love Ferrara, I love Palmeros.
I'll give you my favorite. I go Rocco's on Bleecker Street and Bella Ferrara right above Canal.
There you go.
And then if you can go to Arthur Avenue, anything up there is pretty good.
Yeah, so.
But yeah, Yasser's afraid to offend Baby John because he was in
the
news.
Does he have an endorsement from the Cannoli Association of America?
When he talks about going into overtime and cannoli eating, which happened to me, I went to double overtime. It's you can imagine the amount of kind of mascarpone cheese and things that are on your face, and afterwards they want to take photos, and I'm like, this is what it feels like to be in gay porn.
Hey,
this is not. I've just had 26 cannolis. I just want to be left alone, please.
But on that side, I mean, we got a few minutes left. But you see, you know, one of the things I did a little research on you that surprised me is you run marathons.
Yeah, I do actually. One thing kind of led to another. I started running a few years ago, and then it went into marathons. And I think it actually went further than that. A couple of years ago, I did my first triathlon, and finally last year, I did an Ironman. But you know, I think that's a trait that a lot of eaters have. They just they do most things in moderation, but with eating, especially or other parts of their lives, you'll see they take things to the absolute extreme. And so,
Do you ever combine the two? You know, like you're running, we got the cannolis, you know.
Yeah, like, do you have like somebody on the sidelines instead of giving you like a cup of Gatorade, giving you like a cup of like, I don't know, hot dog nubs or something like that?
Right.
Cup of ketchup.
Squirting mustard in your face as you hit the finish line.
Yeah. Right,
well, go ahead. Yeah.
No, please go.
Go ahead, man.
Well, I mean, I think what it is, you know, we seek that kind of rush that you get when you hit another marker. You know, like for me in running, I just want to get a little faster than I was the year before. And so with eating, it's kind of, you know, there's yardsticks to measure each other by, and that's, you know, how many hot dogs did you eat this year versus last year. So you see the progression. It's really nice to kind of move up. Every year, I used to do that with
beers in the morning when I lived in New Orleans. How many beers can I drink today better than I drank yesterday morning?
Yasser has a sports psychologist that he meets with.
Huh.
Eater X used to joke about it, but Yasser really has one. So he's into the mental focus, so guys, mind over stomach matter.
You guys do train, because on the MLE site it says we do not recommend training at home.
They do not condone home training, and I would encourage anyone
to... It's like
Ninja
Warrior.
There are a lot of rumors out there, eating uncooked rice and letting it expand, swallowing ice cubes to widen your esophagus, drinking lots of water. All those things are bad for you and won't help you eat more food, even going to all-you-can-eat buffets. You know, you asked, is it a sport? And I think if you watch, like, Joey Chestnut on the 4th of July, it's an aerobic activity, and you have to come into every contest mentally, physically, emotionally... ready. So Yasser's triathlon it's as grueling to eat corn for 12 minutes or cannolis for 6 sometimes as it is to run a marathon.
Wow. I can imagine. So tell us, how does it work? You guys get paid for this? Is there a purse for all this? Do you guys call it a feed bag?
You pay your own way to contests. You try to win it back in prize money. Other times there are appearance fees or, you know, Jell-O pudding will contact you and say, here,
Bill Cosby
would you eat some pudding fast?
But just do me a favor, don't cash the check until we leave.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Yasser, what was the first prize money you won, and how did you feel about it?
I think that was about 2 years ago, and, you know, it wasn't a heck of a lot of money, but, I started getting more and more and more until last year. I started making like 500, 700, you know, started moving. I mean, some of the purses are 5,000, 10,000.
Wow.
So I'm slowly moving up, and there's definitely some money to be made.
So what, like, when you get a guy like Kobayashi winning these huge things, like what kind of purses?
Well, you know, we've had international contests that have had $20,000 prizes.
Wow.
Nathan's puts up 10 grand for first. They pay 1 through 5. I would love to see them pay every place at the table, men and women. Right. The women are at the same prize level, because it's hard, you know, to qualify for Nathan's. There's 13 U.S. qualifiers. You can go to 3.
Yeah, it's amazing. You can't just sign up.
No. And to be honest, like, I've missed out 2 out of the 12 years I've eaten, and it's tough. It's really where you want to be. It is the Masters, the Tour de France, the World Series in one, it's 10 minutes of Coney Island.
We're going to wrap up this half. We're going to be back. We're going to talk a little bit more about competitive eating. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you in a minute.
The following program has been brought to you by Rolling Press, a family-run, eco-friendly printing company. For more information, visit rollingpress.com. Today's program was brought to you by Rolling Press. Rolling Press is a family-run digital and offset print house that brings together eco-friendly methods, ethical practices, and personalized service. Using environmentally responsible papers, non-toxic inks, and wind power, Rolling Press represents the harmony of traditional craftsmanship and mindful sustainability. Rolling Press offers advice on reducing paper waste and energy consumption, helping you save money and minimize your carbon footprint. For more information, visit rollingpress.com.
Hey folks, we're back. We are here with Crazy Legs Conti.
Crazy Legs Conti.
And Yasir Salem. And we're talking about competitive eating. And I want to talk about something from maybe a darker perspective, in the fact that we were just talking about Stand By Me. Has it ever happened? Has there been the absolute, like, one guy threw up and then it just created the domino effect.
The one rule in Major League Eating is if you heave, you leave. We call it, we use euphemisms, a reversal of fortune, Elvis has left the building, urges contrary to swallowing.
You keep eating the way you're eating, there's not going to be any reversal of the fortunes. Yeah.
But we did do, you know, we did, I was at the 25th anniversary of Stand By Me in Brownsville, Oregon, had a blueberry pie eating contest. Pat Deep Dish Bertoletti did over 12 pounds of blueberry pie.
Oh, my God.
I pretended to drink castor oil before, but there was no reversal there. Yasser, have you ever had a reversal or been at a contest with a reversal?
A reversal. I like that.
I love that.
Yeah, I mean, I've had one kind of embarrassing moment. I was doing jalapeno peppers down in San Antonio, and I hit like the 100 jalapeno mark. And these are pickled, you know, jalapenos. And thankfully not a lot of people saw it, but like right at the end of the contest I just couldn't keep it down and it came out through my nose. So
yes. Which is the worst, the La Castaña, beautiful jalapeno, but when it comes out your nose.
I see on the Major League Eating site they call you guys gurgitators.
Yes, they had a short-lived magazine also called the Gurgitator.
That sounds like a side that you'd get in like at Popeyes or something. Let me get a bunch of them gurgitators.
Yeah, it actually sounds like more of a Guy Fieri type of thing.
Right, really does.
But the reversal, we call the front row the spray zone.
Ooh,
and,
they wear plastic.
We have, you should wear MLE ponchos because this year we're actually doing a bunch of NASCAR events for Nathan's qualifiers. I think in Charlotte.
I thought you were going to say Charlotte.
Charlotte, yes, could be. That's I have worn an adult diaper to a bratwurst eating contest because I had a near accident at the qualifier.
You had an uh-oh.
Yeah. White lightning, it was described as a fellow competitor. But I think the NASCAR fans in Charlotte, Long Pond, and I think St. Louis will be very happy to, you know, with competitive eating because people watch NASCAR to see the car crashes. Right. Some people watch competitive eating
to see the reverse.
I was present for a offshore gambling was a very good sponsor for us for years, and at a amateur college spring break Huevos Rancheros contest was the only time I've ever seen somebody go for the vanity puke, where they went to throw up on their fellow friends.
No.
And one random guy ended up with, it looked like a parrot on his shoulder of Huevos Rancheros. And that's probably the grossest thing I've seen. Where the guy's just looking up, he's like, why? And I'm like, you know, that looks like almost a full breakfast.
I really wish we could broadcast this conversation to the people eating in Roberta's right now. I really do. I really wish we could
broadcast it to the pizza restaurant.
I see there's a lot of competitions like lobster rolls, the Crystal Burger one, dumplings, oysters. Yep. But I see the one with Kobayashi. He ate 17.7 pounds of cow brain in 15 minutes.
Back in 2002, I was an amateur when they filmed, but a pro when they aired, was the Glutton Bowl on Fox.
The Glutton Bowl, special. Right.
And I actually thought, well, I want to be like the pros. I want to see how well I do. So I tried to break the butter record. Don Moses Lerman, who had at the time the mental stability or instability to eat a lot of butter, he did 7.25 sticks. I got the 3 sticks and threw in the towel.
Yeah, it's pretty hardcore eating butter.
It puts your digestive system similar to like the log flume ride at the water park. It's sort of like, this is happening now.
Male.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you wouldn't eat competitively, like the big bowl of chitlin-palooza?
No, I eat pretty much everything, but spicy food I'm not the greatest at. Jake Melnick's in Chicago does a ghost pepper chicken wing sauce.
Yeah, those are brutal.
And it's 5 minutes, no dairy. And I honestly, I was curled up in a fetal position after 3 minutes.
Actually, so I want to know from you, Sierra, and I want to know from you too. What is like, I could kill it at? I this is my specialty. You can't touch me.
Erstas.
Sierra, you want to start?
Oh, yeah. So I think cannoli, I've gotten to the point where I'm just so obsessed with it that it's going to be kind of hard to beat me at it. So I have it in my mind that that's my contest, and I'm going to do everything I can to win it. So again, I think obsession has a lot to do with it if you harness it just right. And I think I've done it in this case.
Is there any method? Like, do you, like, suck out the cream first and then eat the filling? Or
drink a lot of water?
Absolutely. And I'm totally all about sharing innovation if somebody gives me information back. And I think second place last year, Marcus Owen also kind of developed this new way of doing it the same time I did. So it's out there. What I do and what he does is we grab the cannoli and crush it in our hand. And so it kind of takes care of the very strong shell. And so you spend a little bit less time chewing on it. So that's the key to going from the numbers we've had in the past couple years to the 30s. Yes.
I once did 50 in 3 minutes, suppository style.
The movie, it was in Trainspotting.
Yeah. Yasser pre-masticating the Italian pastry. I'm more of a sfegliatelli man, but I go seafood. Acme oysters. Rouse's crawfish. I just came in third a couple weeks ago at French Quarter Fest.
What does that consist of,
crawfish? Well, that's a debris food, as you know from living in NOLA for 15 years. So it's really like flipping cards. You've got to get this technique down. You don't have time to suck
the
heads.
Thing. You're doing the whole thing.
Rouse's give you a tray of 20.
Yeah.
Not a tremendously spicy boil, just the crawfish, not
20 pounds?
20 pounds.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you're eating to try to almost finish the 20 pounds, weighed before, weighed after. You're going for between 2 and 4 pounds of tail meat, but you're not supposed to eat the shells, although it happens.
See, that's the part I was wondering about, but go ahead. I have a question about that.
It's technique. So a lot of it is technique. Oysters are on the half shell. You got to use a oyster spork. I have a signature
line. You can't suck them out,
right? Oyster sporks.
What's the thing that says hands-free on your site? It says hands-free oyster.
Well, the first year we did it, it was a lot of fat guys, and you could bend down or hold the tray of oysters. So I just bent over and slurped them up. But so many chins were getting cut that they moved to a utensil requirement, which is true. And we did ice cream 1 year, sans utensils, and now they require a spoon. Cookie Jarvis, now retired, he was 360 pounds, 1 pound for every degree of a lazy Susan. He had his own spoon he would bring to contest, and it got ridiculous where he'd bring it to like a pasta contest or something.
Sorry, well, one question about we were talking about the men versus thing.
Sure.
And I saw him do the big oyster thing.
People on his show, and he was like, he was in bad shape.
Yeah, we were talking about that too, but I always thought I could do the oyster. Like, if I had to competitively eat,
it'd be oysters.
I always thought oysters could do it, but
yes.
The shells, the pieces of shell, that's the part that throws me off.
Well, Gulf oysters are very well shucked down there. But what you fail to realize is in New York, you're getting oysters there a taste.
Right.
In New Orleans, these are a meat. They put them on sandwiches.
They're huge.
These are giant.
They're huge.
So 15 dozen is a lot, and it's a lot of salinity. But I think the oyster is the most perfect food. In nature, it filters harmful things. In life, it's just absolutely tasty, and there
is the oyster your spirit animal.
It is.
Well, it's happening.
It
right
looks
now?
Like parts of the female, anatomy. Well, I feel very at home.
George's O'Keefe painting.
I can.
I declare, Mr. Crazy Legs.
I feel like my stomach is a beacon welcoming the ocean's, children home. So.
I was thinking about that before when you see like your groupies, most guys, like they reach into their bag for maybe some KY or something. You pull out cocktail sauce.
Exactly. The question about a guy like the host of Man vs. Food is he really didn't know how to eat in the off season. I love French toast, but if I eat it 11 days in a row, I'm going to be overweight. As a major league eater, we watch every bite, chew, and swallow year round. We eat a lot of healthful foods. You'll get a guy like Yasser. He's biking to work. He's doing triathlons. He's running. I didn't even know he. I'm a very slow runner.
I just butter my thighs.
So
triathlons, I just butter.
But he's found the balance between call it 25 to 40 large meals a year in competition, and then the rest of the time eating very consciously.
Yeah, because you guys get paid to do what most of America pay to do.
Exactly. That's absolutely true. That's
so, yeah, absolutely true. And you want to be in shape for that. You want to. I love, you know, being a corporate shill, so I feel like anytime someone's going to give me free food, yeah, I'm going to make the most of it.
But idea of competitive eating alone, like, think about, like, third, like, you know, countries where hunger's an issue, and it's like we have competitive eating where people just gorge and be gluttonous.
No, they have competitive eating in hungry countries.
But
they're racing after the chicken.
Yeah, they're racing. But that's another thing, too. I wanted to ask you a question, Crazy Legs.
Sure.
And this goes for yesterday as well. Were you raised in big families? Do you have a lot of siblings? Do you have – was this something that came natural to you? Like,
we had to
get
fight
all,
for your food.
Fight for your food.
That was us.
That's how it was when I was
a kid.
Fight
over the Entenmann's.
Yeah, and nobody touched dad's big piece of chicken. But everything else was fair game.
Piece of chicken.
Yeah.
Well – Joey Jaws Chestnut has five other siblings. Former eater Pat Deep Dish Bertoletti has six. So that theory holds true for them. I was raised in a very food-conscious family. Mm-hmm. I didn't eat my first fast food burger until I was 25.
Wow.
So it was more about sort of the authenticity of food. You know, we're at Roberta's, an amazing pizza place. Bucci's out in California is my favorite food in the world. In Emeryville, and I was raised with unofficial aunts and uncles who were making homemade pizza growing up. So I had an appreciation for food from a very young age.
But where did the hunger come in? Where did the strategics, for me,
I was a three varsity athlete in college, but it was Division III, and I mostly sat the bench. So the night before...
Eating oysters.
The night before, I was always better at the pregame meal than the actual athletic endeavor. It was like the night before, they'd have the big pasta dinner for basketball or bagels the morning for the football game. Uh-huh. And so I just felt like I could excel... at this.
Well, Yasir, how about you? What was your inspiration to get started with this? Was it a cultural thing? Your family, like me, Paul and Adam here. You know, we're from families that like to feed. You know, did you have a large family? Was your mom one of those people? Eat! You gotta eat! You're too skinny. Let's go! You know.
Right. Yeah. You know, there might be some part of that's involved here. I did eat a lot as a kid, and was a little overweight growing up. But I think, honestly, it started all about 6 years ago or so when I started, you know, started seeing this stuff on TV. So the Nathan's contest was a big inspiration.
You're like, I can do that.
So I started dabbling it in 2008, but it was really about my competitiveness goes back like a long time throughout my childhood. And it was really, I was kind of addicted or obsessed with that feeling of winning. And this seemed like something that I could, you know, if I tried hard enough, I could probably do it. But it was a lot harder than that. So I kind of got sucked into it. Thought I was going to win stuff easily. It's not like that at all. You have to put in a lot of work. So I became obsessed with the sport.
Do you guys have to fast before you eat?
You generally, you go into a competition with a different mindset. If I have a meat competition, I don't eat meat the week before.
Okay. But you do eat.
Oh yeah, you have to eat. You don't want to have your stomach shrink up. Yasser, do you have a pregame meal or anything?
Yeah, so I have like a certain, I guess, routine. So the day before, or a couple days before, I start dialing back the amount of meat. Try to drop anything that kind of slows me down, like dairy or really greasy food. So I turn up the vegetables and a lot more fruit. Stuff that'll pass through easily. Honestly, I just you don't want a lot of stuff in your intestines. And then the day of, I wake up in the morning, have a big glass of water, maybe 40 ounces or something, not too much, to just kind of start me off.
That's a big fucking glass of water.
Yeah. 40 ounces.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you supposed to drink? Right. You guys go on a date?
Yeah. And then a banana. You know, just some energy to keep me going, but not enough that it'll sit in my stomach and not enough that I'll feel full.
And okay.
So banana's good to go.
Well, and then what's the aftermath? In other words, in regards to helping yourself, I mean, is it, you know,
it is the the Anaconda diet. You pretty much just digest for 24 to 36 hours.
Really?
You can drink a lot because you've got a lot of food in your stomach, and I always like the after parties, Corn on the Cob. We were in Miami at the Mac Deuce Bar. But
You never, after you go into the bathroom by yourself and just let it all out, like any other self-respecting.
You're not alone for hours. You do interviews. You hang out with the fans.
I get it.
You sign everything. The food starts to digest. The moment you feel the worst is right at the buzzer.
How bad is it? How bad is it to be a competitive food eating loser? to be stuffed to the gills and to have no money in your pocket.
Right.
And be like,
right. Well, the other eaters.
It puts the lotion on
whoever wins. We do Ben's Chili Bowl, and that's always a rough one because right at the buzzer, you feel like I've just had like 3/4 of a gallon of chili.
Oh, man.
But the other side of it is altruistic, and we've done, since 2009, we've partnered with Navy Entertainment. Mm. We've sent 15 eaters on 7 tours where we entertain sailor soldiers from Guam to Gitmo, eating hot dogs in a pro-am form, and just giving something back. And I like that the best. I like being an ambassador to our sport, and I'm very thankful for Major League Eating for letting me see the world and really eat the world.
Awesome.
So it's a lot of fun.
Which is actually one of the things, like, we do have to wrap it up soon, but I wanted to ask the two of you guys, like, what's your goal? What do you want to go to? Because, I mean, Kobayashi, like, the guy had a contest with a fucking Kodiak.
Yes.
I mean, he lost.
Right.
But that's pretty impressive, you know, to be like, I'm in a challenge.
But he
lived. I like that the announcers were also like, the bear does not appear to look like he knows he's in an eating contest.
I'm
like, really? Really?
A half-ton bear beat him by 20 hot dogs.
Yasha, what's your goal?
Well, I'm number 12 in the world now. I think my next goal would love to be in the top 10. That's a short-term goal. But to me, because it's kind of hard for me to beat the top 2 or 3 eaters, my current goal, longer-term goal, is to just improve in my numbers every year, improve in my ranking. And then maybe in a year or two, ask me again, and I'll start shooting for, like, you know, top 1, 2, and 3 places. That's
speaking of shooting, you might want to ask some of your cannoli friends to take out number 1 and number 2.
Exactly.
Yeah, because once the betting starts, it's a whole different sport.
Exactly. Yes. I don't think I'm going to quote the Matthew McConaughey Oscar speech, but I would like to. I'd like to live off my creative endeavors in writing and television, film, and I think competitive eating occupies a unique area in food space. So mm-hmm. if I could get to host a show, not necessarily competitive eating, but just food mm-hmm. and my worldview on it, that would be my goal. But I'll just keep going. You know, I have no plans of retiring, although some say I'm in the twilight of my career. But I just won Corn on the Cob for the 4th time in 7th year. So
nice.
I feel good. I have the esophagus of a 21-year-old.
Hey. Before we wrap it up, can you guys tell us, you know, where can we see you next? Crazy Legs?
If you hit MajorLeagueEating.com, they mm-hmm. list all the contests. And we have upcoming, Yasser and I will be heading to the Eastern Shore Wing War, sponsored by Mountaineering Farms Giant Chicken wings weighed before and after, and then Nathan's Hot Dog qualifiers.
The Wing War.
Yeah.
The Wing War.
The Wing War. Knock, knock.
Knock, knock.
There you go. Right, I got one for you, Adam. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Quinoa.
Quinoa who?
I don't speak Chinese.
All right, and with that, we are wrapping it up, folks. Thank you for another wonderful episode of Eating Disorder.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.